fourth section for recitation, the Artara dialogue. Then early in the morning, the Blessed One put on his outer robes and, taking his bowl, went into Vasali for alms. Having collected alms, he returned from the alms round. After the meal, he turned to look back at Vasali as an elephant does, and spoke to Ananda. This is the last time the Tathagata will see Vasali. Come, we shall move on to the village of Banda. Yes, sir, replied the Venerable Ananda to the Blessed One. Then the Blessed One made his way with a large community of monks to the village of Banda. While he was staying there, he addressed the monks. It is because of not understanding, not penetrating four qualities that you and I have run and wandered the round of rebirth in this way for such a long time. Which four? It is because of not understanding, not penetrating noble conduct, noble concentration, noble wisdom, noble freedom that you and I have run and wandered the round of rebirth in this way for such a long time. But once noble conduct is understood and penetrated, once noble concentration is understood and penetrated, once noble wisdom is understood and penetrated, once noble freedom is understood and penetrated, then craving for existence is cut off. The conductor of existence is destroyed, and no longer is there rebirth. This is what the Blessed One said. And when the Happy One had said this, the teacher spoke again. Conduct, concentration, wisdom, and freedom unsurpassed, these are the qualities that famed Gotama has understood. Knowing these directly, he has proclaimed the truth to monks. The teacher with vision has brought suffering to an end and is completely satisfied. Now, while he was staying at the village of Banda, the Blessed One talked to the monks a lot about the teaching in these terms. He explained how it is with good conduct, how it is with concentration, how it is with wisdom, how concentration that is invested with good conduct is of great fruit and of great benefit, how wisdom that is invested with concentration is of great fruit and of great benefit, and how the mind that is invested with wisdom is fully released from the taints, namely the taint of sense desire, the taint of being, the taint of view, the taint of ignorance. Now when the Blessed One had stayed at Banda as long as he wanted, he spoke to the Venerable Ananda. Come, Ananda, we shall move on to the village of Hatti, Amba, Jambu, the town of Boga. Yes, sir, replied the Venerable Ananda to the Blessed One. Then the Blessed One made his way with a large community of monks to the town of Boga, where he stayed at the shrine of Ananda. There he addressed the monks. Monks, I shall teach you the four great authorities. Listen. Pay careful attention to what I shall say. Yes, sir, replied those monks to the Blessed One. This is what the Blessed One said. Now, if a monk should say that he has heard directly from the Blessed One, that he has learnt directly from him that such is the practice, such the discipline, such the teacher's instruction, then what this monk says should neither be accepted nor rejected. Without being accepted or rejected, his words and expressions should be learnt and then compared against the teaching and examined against the discipline. If, when they are compared against the teaching and examined against the discipline, they do not in fact compare with the teaching, and do not bear examination with the discipline, then the conclusion must be drawn that this is certainly not the word of the Blessed One, but something the monk has mistakenly learnt, in which case you should discard it. If, when they are compared against the teaching and examined against the discipline, they do in fact compare with the teaching and do bear examination with the discipline, then the conclusion must be drawn that this is certainly the word of the Blessed One, and something the monk has correctly learnt. This is the first great authority you should hold to. Now, if a monk should say that there is a community of elders and eminent monks staying in a monastery of some particular name, and that he has heard directly from that community, that he has learnt directly from that community, that such is the practice, such the discipline, such the teacher's instruction, then what this monk says should neither be accepted nor rejected. His words and expressions should be learnt and then compared against the teaching and examined against the discipline. If they do in fact compare with the teaching and do bear examination with the discipline, then the conclusion must be drawn that this is certainly the word of the Blessed One, and something the monk has correctly learnt. This is the second great authority you should hold to. Now, if a monk should say that there are many elder monks staying in a monastery of some particular name who are learned, have mastered the tradition, and know the teachings, the discipline, and the summary lists, and that he has heard directly from those monks, that he has learnt directly from them that such is the practice, such the discipline, such the teacher's instruction, then what this monk says should neither be accepted nor rejected. His words and expressions should be learnt and then compared against the teaching and examined against the discipline. If they do in fact compare with the teaching and do bear examination with the discipline, then the conclusion must be drawn that this is certainly the word of the Blessed One, and something the monk has correctly learnt. This is the third great authority you should hold to. Now, if a monk should say that there is an individual elder monk staying in a monastery of some particular name who is learned, has mastered the tradition, and knows the teachings, the discipline, and the summary lists, and that he has heard directly from that monk, that he has learnt directly from him that such is the practice, such the discipline, such the teacher's instruction, then what this monk says should neither be accepted nor rejected. Without being accepted or rejected, his words and expressions should be learnt and then compared against the teaching and examined against the discipline. If, when they are compared against the teaching and examined against the discipline, they do not in fact compare with the teaching and do not bear examination with the discipline, then the conclusion must be drawn that this is certainly not the word of the Blessed One, but something the monk has mistakenly learnt, in which case you should discard it. If, when they are compared against the teaching and examined against the discipline, they do in fact compare with the teaching and do bear examination with the discipline, then the conclusion must be drawn that this is certainly the word of the Blessed One and something the monk has correctly learnt. This is the fourth great authority you should hold to. Monks, hold to these four great authorities. Now, while he was staying in Boga, at the shrine of Ananda, the Blessed One talked to the monks a lot about the teaching in these terms. He explained how it is with good conduct, how it is with concentration, how it is with wisdom, how concentration that is invested with good conduct is of great fruit and of great benefit, how wisdom that is invested with concentration is of great fruit and of great benefit, and how the mind that is invested with wisdom is fully released from the taints, namely the taint of sense desire, the taint of being, the taint of view, the taint of ignorance. Now, when the Blessed One had stayed in the town of Boga as long as he wanted, he spoke to the Venerable Ananda. "Come, Ananda, we shall move on to Parvar." "Yes, sir," replied the Venerable Ananda to the Blessed One. Then the Blessed One made his way with a large community of monks to Parvar, where he stayed in the mangrove grove of Kunda the smith. Now when Kunda heard people say that the Blessed One had reached Parvar and was staying in his mangrove grove, he went to the Blessed One and on arrival saluted him respectfully before sitting down to one side. Once Kunda the smith was seated, the Blessed One instructed him with talk about the teaching, encouraging, enthusing, and inspiring him. Instructed, encouraged, enthused, and inspired by his talk, he said to the Blessed One, "May the Blessed One, along with a community of monks, accept my invitation for tomorrow's meal." By his silence, the Blessed One accepted. Understanding that he had accepted his invitation, Kunda got up from his seat, respectfully saluted the Blessed One, and left, keeping him on his right. When the night was over, Kunda had fine foods of different sorts, including a large quantity of tender boar prepared in his own home. Then he had the Blessed One informed. "It is time, sir. The meal is ready." Then, early in the morning, the Blessed One put on his outer robes and, taking his bowl, went together with a community of monks to Kunda the Smith's home and sat down on the prepared seat. When he had sat down, he said to Kunda, "Kunda, serve me with the tender boar you have had prepared. Serve the community of monks with the other sorts of food you have prepared." "Yes, sir," replied Kunda the Smith, and he served the Blessed One with the tender boar he had had prepared, and the community of monks with the other sorts of food he had had prepared. Then the Blessed One said to Kunda, "Whatever tender boar you have left, bury it in a hole. I do not see anyone in this world with its gods, its Mara and Brahma, anyone of this generation with its ascetics and Brahmins, its princes and peoples, who could properly digest it once eaten, except the Tathagata." "Yes, sir," replied Kunda the Smith. And whatever tender boar was left, he buried in a hole. Then he went to the Blessed One and, having respectfully saluted him, sat down to one side. Once Kunda was seated, the Blessed One instructed him with talk about the teaching, encouraging, enthusing, and inspiring him. Then the Blessed One got up from his seat and left. After the Blessed One had eaten Kunda the Smith's meal, he fell seriously ill, passing blood in his stools, and suffering severe pains as though he were close to death. Without complaining, the Blessed One accepted the pains mindfully and with full awareness. Then the Blessed One spoke to the Venerable Ananda. "Come, Ananda, we shall move on to Kusinara." "Yes, sir," replied the Venerable Ananda to the Blessed One. "What I have heard is that after eating Kunda the Smith's meal, the sage suffered a serious illness, bringing him close to death. When he had eaten tender boar, the teacher became seriously sick. The Blessed One, continually having to relieve himself, said, 'I am going to the town of Kusinara.' Then the Blessed One left the path and went over to the root of a tree. There he spoke to the Venerable Ananda. 'Could you fold my outermost robe in four for me, Ananda? I am tired and must sit down.' 'Yes, sir,' replied the Venerable Ananda, and he folded the outermost robe in four. The Blessed One sat down on the prepared seat, and when he was seated, he spoke to the Venerable Ananda. 'Could you bring me some water, Ananda? I am thirsty and must drink.' At this, the Venerable Ananda said to the Blessed One, 'Sir, just now 500 carts passed by, and the water has been cut through by their wheels. It flows feebly and is stirred up and muddy. The river Kakuta is close by, clean and with easy banks. It is delightful, and its water is clear, good, and cool. There the Blessed One can drink water and cool his limbs.' A second time the Blessed One said to the Venerable Ananda, 'Could you bring me some water, Ananda? I am thirsty and must drink.' A second time the Venerable Ananda said to the Blessed One, 'Sir, just now 500 carts passed by, and the water has been cut through by their wheels. It flows feebly and is stirred up and muddy. The river Kakuta is close by, clean and with easy banks. It is delightful, and its water is clear, good, and cool. There the Blessed One can drink water and cool his limbs.' A third time the Blessed One said to the Venerable Ananda, Could you bring me some water, Ananda? I am thirsty and must drink. Yes, sir, replied the venerable Ananda, and taking his bowl he went to the stream. And as he approached, the stream, which cut through by wheels had been flowing feebly, stirred up and muddy, appeared clear, bright, and free of mud. And the venerable Ananda thought, This is remarkable, this is extraordinary. The great accomplishment and great power of the Tathagata. For this stream, which, cut through by wheels, was flowing feebly, stirred up and muddy, when I approach, flows clear, bright, and free of mud. Taking water in his bowl, the venerable Ananda went to the Blessed One and said, This is remarkable, this is extraordinary, sir, the great accomplishment and great power of the Tathagata. The stream, which cut through by wheels, had been flowing feebly, stirred up and muddy, when I approached just now appeared clear, bright, and free of mud. Let the Blessed One drink the water. Let the Happy One drink the water. Then the Blessed One drank the water. At that time, Pakusa, a young man of Mala, and a disciple of Alara the Kalama, was travelling on the main road from Kusinara to Parvar. He saw the Blessed One seated at the root of the tree and approached him. Having saluted him respectfully, he sat down to one side. Once seated, he spoke to the Blessed One. This is remarkable, this is extraordinary, sir, how those who have gone forth live life in such peace. Once in the past, when Alara the Kalama was travelling on the main road, he left the path and sat down at the root of a tree to spend the day there. Now 500 carts passed right by Alara the Kalama. A man who was coming along behind the caravan of carts went over to Alara and spoke to him. Sir, did you see those 500 carts pass by? I did not see them. Then did you hear the noise, sir? I did not hear the noise. Then were you asleep, sir? I was not asleep. Then were you conscious, sir? I was. So while conscious and awake, you neither saw the 500 carts pass right by, nor did you hear the noise. Yet your outer robe is all covered in dust. That is so. And then that man thought how remarkable, how extraordinary that those who have gone forth live life in such peace that while conscious and awake they will neither see nor hear the sound of 500 carts passing right by. So expressing his deep faith in Alara the Kalama, he went. What do you think, Pakusa? Which is harder to accomplish and master? That one should be conscious and awake, and neither see nor hear the sound of 500 carts passing right by? Or that one should be conscious and awake, and neither see anything nor hear a sound when the god rains down, the skies rumble, lightning flashes, and thunderbolts rend the air? Whether it is 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, or 1,000 carts, whether 100, or 1,000, what difference can it make? That one should be conscious and awake, and neither see anything nor hear a sound, when the god rains down, the skies rumble, lightning flashes, and thunderbolts rend the air. Certainly this is harder to accomplish and master. Once I was staying at Artumar, in a threshing barn, when the god rained down, the skies rumbled, lightning flashed and thunderbolts rent the air. And 2 ploughmen who were brothers and 4 oxen were killed. Now a great crowd of people came out from Artumar and went to where the ploughmen and oxen had been killed. By that time I had come out of the threshing barn and was walking up and down in the open air by the entrance. A man from the crowd came up to me and, having approached, he saluted me respectfully and stood to one side. As he stood there, I asked him why that great crowd had gathered. Sir, just now, he said, the god rained down. The skies rumbled, lightning flashed, and thunderbolts rent the air, and two ploughmen who were brothers and four oxen were killed. So this great crowd has gathered. But, sir, where were you?
I was right here, friend.
But you didn't see anything?
I did not.
Then did you hear the noise, sir?
I did not.
Then were you asleep, sir?
I was not asleep.
Then were you conscious, sir?
I was, friend.
So while conscious and awake, you neither saw anything nor heard a sound when the god rained down, the skies rumbled, lightning flashed, and thunderbolts rent the air?
That is so, friend.
And then, Pukusa, that man thought how remarkable, how extraordinary that those who have gone forth live life in such peace that, while conscious and awake, they will neither see anything nor hear a sound when the god rains down, the skies rumble, lightning flashes, and thunderbolts rend the air. So, expressing his deep faith in me, he saluted me respectfully, and keeping me to his right, he went away. At this, Pukusa said to the Blessed One, what faith I had in Alara the Kalama, I let the wind blow away as chaff, or a swift-flowing river wash away.
Excellent, sir, excellent. As if someone were to set upright what had been knocked down, or reveal what had been hidden, or point out the way to someone who was lost, or hold a lamp up in the dark so that those with eyes could see. Just so the Blessed One has made the truth clear in various ways. Sir, I go to the Blessed One for refuge, and to the teaching, and the community of monks. Let the Blessed One accept me as a lay follower who has taken refuge from this day for as long as I live. Then Pukusa spoke to one of his men. Please bring me a pair of garments of finished cloth, the colour of gold.
Yes, sir, he replied,
and brought a pair of garments of finished cloth, the colour of gold. And Pukusa offered that pair of garments to the Blessed One, saying, sir, out of sympathy, may the Blessed One accept this pair of garments of finished cloth, the colour of gold.
Then clothe me in one, Pukusa, and Ananda in the other.
Yes, sir, he replied, and clothed the Blessed One in one, and Ananda in the other. Then the Blessed One instructed Pukusa with talk about the teaching, encouraging, enthusing, and inspiring him. Instructed, encouraged, enthused, and inspired by his talk, Pukusa got up from his seat and respectfully saluted the Blessed One and, keeping him on his right, went away. Not long after he had left, the Venerable Ananda offered both the garments to the Blessed One to cover his body, but once on his body they faded and seemed to lose their lustre. Then the Venerable Ananda said to the Blessed One, this is remarkable, sir. This is extraordinary. The colour of the Tathagata's skin is so pure and clear. I have offered the Blessed One both garments of finished cloth, the colour of gold, to cover his body. But once on his body, they fade and seem to lose their lustre.
That is so, Ananda. There are two occasions when the colour of the Tathagata's skin is very pure and clear. Which are they?
The night the Tathagata awakens to the highest perfect awakening, and the night he attains final nibbana by the element of nibbana that is without any remnant of attachment. These are the two occasions when the colour of the Tathagata's skin is very pure and clear. So tonight, in the last watch at Upavattana, the sal grove of the Malas at Kusinara, between two sal trees, the final nibbana of the Tathagata will happen. Come, Ananda, we shall move on to the river Kakuta. With two pieces of finished cloth, the colour of gold, Pukusa came. Clothed in them, the teacher's complexion shone like gold. Then the Blessed One went with a large community of monks to the river Kakuta,
where he went down into the water to bathe and drink. On coming back out, he went to the mango grove and spoke to the venerable Kunduka. "Could you fold my outermost robe in four for me, Kunduka? I am tired and must lie down."
"Yes, sir," replied the venerable Kunduka, and he folded the outermost robe in four.
Then the Blessed One lay down on his right side, as a lion does, covering one foot with the other, mindful and fully aware, bringing to mind when he would get up, while the venerable Kunduka sat down there in front of him. The Buddha went to the river Kakuta, bright with water clear and good. His body exhausted, the teacher plunged in, the Tathagata without equal in the world. And when the teacher had bathed and drunk, he emerged, revered among the company of monks. The blessed teacher who sets the truth in motion here, the great sage went to the mango grove. He addressed the monk called Kunduka, "Spread the fourfold robe for me, I must lie down." Directed by the one realized in himself, Kunda quickly spread the fourfold robe. His body exhausted, the teacher lay down and Kunda sat down there in front of him. Then the Blessed One said to the Venerable Ananda, "It is possible that someone might make Kunda regretful by suggesting to him that for the Tathagata to have reached final peace after eating a last meal offered by him is something that counts against him, something disadvantageous to him. Any such regret of Kunda's should be dispelled by telling him, for the Tathagata to have reached final peace after eating a last meal offered by you, Kunda, is something that counts for you, something very advantageous to you. I have heard directly from the Blessed One. I have learnt directly from him that there are two meals whose offering is exactly the same in result and effect, but much greater in result and benefit than the offering of other meals. The offering of the meal after eating, which the Tathagata awakens to the unsurpassed complete awakening, and the offering of the meal after eating, which the Tathagata attains final Nibbana, with the element of Nibbana that is without any remnant of attachment. These are the two meals whose offering is exactly the same in result and effect, but much greater in result and benefit than the offering of other meals. The good Kunda has done a deed to his credit that will conduce to long life, to good looks, to fame, to happiness, to heaven, and to authority. This is how any regret of Kunda the Smith's should be dispelled." And the Blessed One, understanding the significance of this, immediately breathed a sigh. When one gives, merit increases. When one is in control of oneself, hostility is not stored up. The skillful man gives up what is bad. With the destruction of greed, hatred, and delusion, he is at peace.